Gaudete in Domino semper, iterum dico, gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, this Sunday receives its name from the first word of the introit of today's Mass. Gaudete in Domino semper, iterum dico, gaudete. These words are taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, written in about 52 AD. The church in Philippi was flourishing as a result of the ministry of the Apostle to the Gentiles. And this epistle is taken, the epistle for the Mass is taken from the end of that epistle to the Philippians, wherein St. Paul gave the Christians of the city an exhortation to always remain joyful in the Lord. Gaudete in Domino. St. Thomas Aquinas, by his clear and incisive analysis, points out that joy is something we experience on two precise occasions. On the one hand, we experience joy when we possess a certain happiness within ourselves. On the other hand, we experience joy when we are sure that someone we love is happy. In fact, to love is to place one's happiness in the happiness of another. From here we understand the joy of children and adults when they work over long periods of time towards a goal. We also understand the joy of parents or teachers for their students when they give them the necessary help to learn some important things for their lives. It is easy to think of the loved one among us, our family, or our friends. However, dear faithful, how often do we think of God? God is ipsum esse subsistens. He is being in its fullness. He possesses all happiness in himself. And his goodness is such that he has created us. What God does is good. What God touches becomes good. Since what is good is what is desirable to us, when we see something good in others, it is a metaphysical fact that that goodness comes from God himself. Therefore, now you see that since God created all things and gave them their goodness, it is safe to conclude that the goodness of God himself is so immense that it is beyond our capacity to understand it. In fact, it is correct to say that God is goodness itself. We know from the Gospels that no one is good but God alone. St. John has this recorded as being said by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. We also know that God is love. Therefore, not only would he be eminently desirable to us if we knew him, but also knowing that all that we have received and we have received from him, God is eminently lovable to us. The same ever good and ever loving God calls us to heaven for our own happiness. In consequence, he desires nothing else but to make us happy. The joy that he wants to give us comes out of his powerful goodness and love. In little over a week, God will be with us. In his presence, what else then can we feel but joy? When St. Paul wrote his epistle to the Christians in Philippi, he did not know, like us, when the second coming would be. However, he was able to tell the Christians of the city to be joyful, as though they were in the presence of God. Such a good God will come among us to show us this path to happiness. By his own life, he showed us what we must do. We will be joyful if we live fully virtuous lives, trusting in God and applying ourselves every day to our tasks at hand. In his Nicomachean Ethics, the Greek philosopher Aristotle pointed out that eudaimonia, or happiness, is attained by acting virtuously in everything that we do. We human beings are creatures of reason, and therefore we will be happy in an objective way if we act according to the highest faculties of our soul. However, Aristotle, being a pagan, teaches that it is impossible to be happy if you have not been trained to be virtuous from a very young age. This conclusion is not surprising, given that Aristotle did not know anything about grace, being a pagan himself. With the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the source itself of all grace. For this reason, we have every reason to be joyful. God is love, and because of his goodness and love for us, he was willing to endure untold suffering for us, so that in our own small way, we will carry our crosses and follow him. More than this, we are assured of his grace, of his divine help for us. St. Paul says as much to the Philippians when he tells them to have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. The joy of a Christian is not a virtue that we can practice like a fake or forced smile. Even though it results from the practice of virtue in our daily life, for a Christian in particular, joy results from the practice of the virtue of charity. This is why charity is named as the first of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When we consider the goodness and love of God for us, we cannot fail to consider his mercy and his providence. By his mercy, he forgives us our sins. And by his providence, we can be sure that everything we experience, pleasurable or painful, are in fact blessings for us to grow in virtue. For this reason, no matter what we have to experience or endure in our daily lives, we have reason to be joyful as long as we apply ourselves to live virtuously, gratefully using the graces of our Lord, seeking his help without anxiety, but with confidence. The goodness of our God for us, his presence before us as a little baby, should be a source of joy to us and a reason for confidence in his love for us, so that we pursue our growth in virtue with joy, despite all difficulties we have to endure on our way. Let us not hesitate during this last week of Advent to kneel before the infant King, asking him to prepare us adequately for his coming. Let us ask Our Lady, Mother of God and Mother of the Savior, to help us prepare the way for the Lord into our hearts so that we may joyfully receive him and remain always in his presence from now until we come into the kingdom. O Mary, Mother of God, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.